Good morning and welcome to Christ the King. Our opening hymn is number 721 in the hymnal, number 721.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Happy Sunday, everyone. In our Gospel and in our first reading, God reminds us of the call to marriage, to that faithful bond of love. It's also a reminder of the state that we were created, that it's not good for us to be alone. God made us for relationship with Him and with our brothers and sisters, those that are like us and those that are much different than us. Brothers and sisters, as we come to celebrate these sacred mysteries, as we come into relationship with Jesus Christ in this most holy Mass, let us call to mind our sins, asking Him for His mercy and forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask the Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of good will. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us, to pardon what conscience dreads, and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to God, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all wild animals. But none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man. And while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built into it a woman, The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman. For out of her man, this one has been taken. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Israel, may the Lord.
A reading from the letter to Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, he, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, from whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader of their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord. Our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in you. This is a quote from St. Augustine after a long life of searching to fill his restlessness with all sorts of things, with promiscuous relationships, with fame, with power, with money. After he finally came and encountered a relationship with the living God, he said, "This is what I've been searching for this whole time. This is what the only thing that can fill my restless heart is, to actually be in relationship with you, God, and in a loving relationship with others." may feel a similar kind of restlessness for all sorts of reasons right now in the world. But I think our readings today should force us to think about that original state of restlessness that Adam was created in. These readings don't only apply to marriage and talking about divorce, but going back to Genesis chapter 2 when God created Adam and Eve, we see that God made man, but it was not good for him to be alone. It wasn't good for Adam to just hang out in the garden provided by God all by himself. Now, we might be able to come up with all sorts of reasons that this was a bad idea, right? Adam probably by himself didn't keep the garden very clean, right? It was probably pretty disorderly because he didn't really care that much about it, right? Maybe he wasn't very attentive to the needs of all the gardening that needed to happen. There could be all sorts of personal reasons like that that Adam may have fallen short without Eve. But I don't think that's what God is saying or the reason why it's not good for man to be alone. He's saying that human beings were made for relationship. They were made to challenge them to live outside of themselves, not just for their own wants and desires, but to actually connect with another. That being both another human being, but also a relationship with Almighty God. Because we see that it's not good for man to be alone, and then God creates all of the animals. We might in our head just kind of speed past this part and think it's not that big of a deal. But I think in all of the animals and all the birds, Adam sees things that are not like him, but not one that he can have a relationship with. He can't communicate in a particularly deep and meaningful way with his dog or the things that helped him do his work in the garden. Then he needed something that was like him. And yet when Eve is created, he doesn't look at her and say, "Hey, look, it's a clone. It's another Adam. It's like looking in the mirror, man. This is great." Right? He sees in Eve one that is like him in her intelligence, in the way he can communicate with her, in her creativity, but also one that is distinct. One that's different, that understands the world in a different way. Someone that challenges him to understand who she is, calling him out of himself so he can find rest in his restless heart. When God says it's not good for man to be alone, I don't think it's so much because we need God or Eve to fill a hole in our heart, but it's that we need our hearts to be brought outside of ourselves. To not just be focused on what we want, but to actually see and hear the needs of another. To recognize that they are like us and equal in dignity, but also that they are distinct. That difference calls something from us, challenges us to love in the way that God loves us. To love them even when it's not particularly easy. That's the kind of relationship God calls forth in the Old Testament with his people, Israel. That often throughout the Old Testament, he talks about this relationship with his people as a marriage covenant. As God freely choosing the people, Israel, and entering into a faithful bond with them. That he says, "I will always be your God and you will always be my people. I'll always be faithful to you even if you're not faithful to me. That I'll always seek and come after you to restore that relationship, to give you that rest that your heart needs." And we see Israel oftentimes turning away from that love and that persistence of God. And even if you just look at the story of Exodus, shortly after the people of Israel are freed from slavery in Egypt, they're already complaining to God. They're already saying, "Well, did you just bring us out here to die in the desert? You know, it was kind of nice back there in Egypt. I mean, we were slaves, but we had cucumbers. Man, could really go for some cucumbers right now. And some leeks. Ooh, man, I've never been hungry enough to desire leeks, I'll be honest." But in that moment, right, God being faithful to his covenant doesn't reject the people and say, "All right, you guys want out, I'm out too." No, he says, "Even if you are unfaithful, I will remain faithful. Even if you start to grasp at other relationships or other things to fill you up, I'll always pursue you as my beloved. I'll always seek to bring you that rest that your restless hearts need." I think that gives us some insight into Jesus' teaching in the gospel. That this isn't just about divorce and marriage and the gift of marriage and how that calls us to be faithful and generous with each other. But it really shows us the love we're called to have for God and for others. That we're challenged to have a faithful love as in a marriage. And it's not just about what the other person deserves or how they treat us, but how we can actually love them as God loves us. To be faithful and generous with them, even if they are not faithful and generous with us. For that's ultimately the example of Christ. So we hear from the letter to the Hebrews in the second reading that Jesus was made lower than the angels so that he might be like us, so that he might see us as a brother or a sister. And that his love for us was so generous that he didn't want to seem distant, but wanted us to know that he is like us and also to experience our lives. So he would not be ashamed to call us brothers. We would always have that intimate connection with him. That we could never deny that we're in relationship with him because we could see ourselves in Jesus Christ. That we're made for that relationship, that our hearts will always be restless until we make that generous gift, that generous love and relationship with God and our neighbor. I know for me personally, that's been one of the most challenging things through this whole pandemic of the last year or two. It's the idea that we're not supposed to be close to each other, that there can be a great sense and feeling of isolation and distance. Again, there might be a variety of reasons for that, and it's a totally legitimate experience if that's how you felt. But I think it should challenge us as disciples of Christ to not allow those we know and love to feel the same way. To instead try to put ourselves in God's shoes and say, how can I be one that brings love to that person? How can I help them be in relationship and not feel isolated and alone? How is it that I can be faithful to that relationship even if they may have not been? How can I be generous in helping bring them rest? Because I think as we start to do that, we can be an example of Christ and God's love to others. It's what I heard so much when we were at, when I was at Father Capon's vigil and funeral mass. That the relatively simple, you could say ordinary things that Father Capon did for those POWs was so profound because it became an example of faithful, generous love. And it became for them an embodiment of the love of Christ and our Heavenly Father. That he didn't have to go out and say, oh, I'm going to evangelize and make sure all of these men are baptized. He simply said, how can I show that generous love to them? That when they're restless, when they are uncertain, I can be a place of peace and comfort for them. Maybe by taking care of their physical needs or making a fake pot of coffee in the morning. Maybe by bringing some good cheer and a smile to them. Maybe it was by visiting them and praying with them, connecting them back to God. But in all those little things, he was simply trying to help bring their heart to rest, to be that relationship that pointed them back to God. Brothers and sisters, I think we're called to do a similar thing for our family and neighbors. To be the love of Christ that helps bring them rest in the midst of so great turmoil. So today at this Mass, let us recognize that we, like Adam and all humans before us, were not made to be alone. And God made us for a deep and profound relationship with him and with our neighbors. Let's thank God for the ways that he's shown us that faithful love, that he has not given up on us in our sins or wanderings. But let's also see the ways that we can be that love of Christ for others. How we can remind them of the relationship that we are made for. How we can remind them of the faithful and generous love our Heavenly Father has for us. And in that way, they too can see that we are not made to be alone, that he does not give up on us. But he always draws us into relationship with himself. That he always pursues after us as his beloved. That he always sees us
as his brothers and sisters, and wants us always to see him as that faithful Father, one that sends us love in our need, the one that wants to bring us rest, even to our restless hearts.